Press Play on KCRW. I'm Michelle Aloy. Even if you're not much of a video game fan, chances are you've at least played Tetris. It's one of the most popular and most successful video games ever created, with more than 500 million downloads on mobile devices. Next year marks the 40th anniversary of Tetris's invention. And the story of how it became a global phenomenon is just as captivating as the game itself. In 1984, a software engineer in the Soviet Union created Tetris as a fun side project. By word of mouth, the game started to spread, first to other Soviet bloc countries, then beyond the Iron Curtain to the West. It set off an international fight for the game's rights at the peak of the Cold War. That story is now the subject of the movie Tetris, out Friday on Apple TV+.
This game isn't just addictive. It stays with you. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
Hank, only 10 other people in the world have seen what you're about to see. It's called the Game Boy.
Package it with Tetris. Can you get us the rights?
Joining us to talk about the film is the creator of the game himself, Alexey Pajitnov. And we're also joined by Hank Rogers, president of the Tetris Company, who helped bring Tetris out from behind the Iron Curtain. Welcome to Press Play, both of you.
Hi, thank you.
Hello, nice to be here.
Well, Alexey, let's start with you. You created Tetris in 1984. How did you come up with the idea for this game?
I was just a regular kind of software engineer. So one day I had an idea to make a two-player game on computer using the puzzle set called Pentomino. Those are shapes which you very similar to what you see on the screen in game Tetris. So while I try to program it, the idea of real-time game come to me. So I forget this two-player board game and programmed made Tetris.
So after all these years, I have to ask, do you have a favorite shape in Tetris?
I love them all. That's the answer. But my favorite is J shape.
Interesting. I feel like that's most people's least favorite shape, at least, or maybe it's just my least favorite shape.
Oh, really? You don't like J?
No, I find it hard to figure out where to put it. I get overwhelmed by it.
Yeah, I see.
Hank, I want to bring you into this conversation now. So when did you first encounter Tetris?
I first encountered Tetris at the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas in January of 1988.
And what was your first impression of it at the time?
My first impression was that it looked like a really simple game, which basically doesn't scare me because I play a simple looking game called Go, black and white stones. And it looks very simple, but it's the deepest game in existence. And so the fourth time I'm standing in line at this to play again, I realized I was hooked on this game.
I want to play a clip from the film. There's a moment where Taron Egerton, who plays you in the movie, this is when he first comes across Tetris, like you said, at the Consumer Electronics Show in Vegas. And he's at the time trying to sell his own game, finds his and is not very successful. But he later finds his sales assistant sort of off playing this game. And that's where he finds her.
Yeah. Tracy. Yeah. Tracy, what are you doing?
How's it going? Look, I just invited this young lady over to see how our new game fares with the female audience.
Uh-huh. Sure. Come on, Tracy. I'm paying you to sell my game, not play other people.
Relax, Hank. This game's swell. What's it called?
Tetris.
So did that really happen? I know you said this is where you encountered it at the Consumer Electronics Show, but is that really how you first encountered it?
So my business was publishing games in Japan, my primary business. And so I was looking for games. That's what I always did at the Consumer Electronics Show and many other game shows in the world. And so I was going from machine to machine. So it didn't exactly happen. I didn't have a sales assistant that said swell or anything.
Maybe not down to the exact scripting. Sure.
Yeah, but I wasn't. There's a lot of Hollywood in there. They had to tell a story that took a year and a half to play itself out in 2 hours. And it's a very complicated story. So I think they did an amazing job of being able to capture the tension that I went through when I ended up in the Soviet Union.
Well, so talk about that. So the movie shows you, your journey to the Soviet Union to try to get licensing rights for the handheld version of this game. This meant flying to Moscow. You go on a tourist visa, not a business visa, which was pretty dangerous at the time. How prepared were you at the time to be doing business in the Soviet Union at this point in history?
The answer is not at all. I just got on a plane. And for me, it was an adventure game. You know, I was trying to find Elorg, which it took me a couple of days to find Elorg.
Elorg is the, and explain what that is. This is basically the Soviet-run, you know, electronics company.
That's the agency which was authorized to make a trade with the foreign country. None of the entity in Soviet Union were allowed to have a deals with foreigner companies or people. So just a very certain appointed agency were able. So Elorg was one of them.
So Hank, you're trying to find Elorg. You find it. Then what?
Yeah, and then I'm about to walk in the door, and my interpreter says, "You can't go in there." I said, "What do you mean I can't go in there? You're on a tourist visa. You can't go in. You're not allowed to speak to anyone." And I said, "Well, I didn't come all this way to stand in front of a door and go back to Tokyo to get a visa. I'm going in." And apparently I did.
And Alexei, is this where you meet Hank for the first time?
Well, the next day, Hank announced himself in the Elorg, and he showed that he is a publisher of Tetris, one of the Tetris publishers. And it was appointment, it was a meeting assigned for the next day, and they invite me. They say some kind of crazy guy come to talk about Tetris, so could you please come and assist us? That's what I did many times in the Lord, because they tried to find a good publisher for my game.
Even though you were the creator of this game, you weren't making any money off of it at the time, correct?
Correct. Well, we didn't have any kind of game industry. As a matter of fact, we didn't have even software industry. So all the software was distributed by state channel. It was no market at all.
Because it was all, I guess, state-owned, right? At least the intellectual property was, you know, the property of the Soviet government.
Yeah, even the concept of intellectual property didn't properly exist at that time.
And Hank, what was your impression of Alexei at the time?
You know, he was when I first met him, he looked very suspicious, like, who the hell are you? And I spent, a couple of hours with eight people giving me the third degree about who I was and what I did and so on and so forth. And then I noticed him relaxing and smiling because he realized that I'm actually a game designer. I was a game designer before I was a businessman. And so then he actually had a real game designer. He likes to call us colleagues. But yeah, we were actually fellow game designers, and that gave us a bond, you know, solid bond right away.
And how were you able, I guess, to form that bond while you were there? Just because, you know, you're there, you're already breaking the law because you're there on a tourist visa instead of a business visa. You said you were in this room for 8 hours, basically being grilled.
I was in the room for a couple of hours being
couple hours.
Eight people.
Eight people. Okay.
So. And some of them probably were KGB. I didn't know who the hell they were. But Alexei came to me at the end of the meeting and said, "Let's get together afterwards," which I was surprised that he was able to do that. And he did. And he was breaking the law by inviting me to meet him outside of this setting. Well, everybody was breaking the law, I guess. But it was perestroika and glasnost. So we're supposed to be changing our ways. I mean, the Soviet Union is supposed to be changing their ways at this point.
Well, and that leads me to my next question. So all of this is happening on the eve of these two major events, one very serious, the collapse of the Soviet Union, and one less serious, the release of Nintendo's Game Boy. Talk about the confluence of those two events, Hank, and how they played into this scramble for the rights for this game at the time.
Yeah, so when I went, I had paid Robert Stein $25,000 to get me the Game Boy rights.
And Robert Stein, this was a guy, he was working for this Hungarian software company, right?
Yes. And so I thought he was working for me. And then I'd already made a sort of a handshake deal with Nintendo for Game Boy Tetris. And then Arakawa calls me, the president of Nintendo calls me, and he says, you know, somebody else just offered me the rights to Tetris. And I go, what? You know, how is somebody else doing this? So I thought Stein was double dealing. And that's what prompted me to get on a plane, because he had been delaying me. Like, you know, I would send him a fax once a week and he would say next week. And finally, I was, you know, when I shook hands with Arakawa, I started faxing him daily. And then he says, meet me in 2 weeks. I'll go there. I'll be there for a week before you arrive. And that just like, what the hell? Why would he do that? You know, and he didn't explain it to me why. It turns out that he had licensed the arcade rights to Tetris to Sega, or somebody had, and he hadn't gotten those rights yet. So he was licensing without, how can I say, he was licensing to the game without actually having rights.
So, you know, ultimately, Hank and Lexi, you guys have been incredibly successful, and you've also maintained a friendship since you first met in Moscow. To what extent do you think, you know, your bond has played into the game's success over these decades?
Very much so. I do strongly believe that my game is a very good game, but there is nothing really exceptional. But because we really put serious efforts in maintaining brand for such a long time, the game's still alive and that millions of people still enjoying it.
Yeah.
Our friendship is key important for that.
And Hank, what are your thoughts?
Yeah. So when Alexei and I are in the same jurisdiction, like in New York or in Seattle or wherever, every other day, it's a bottle of wine. And we don't talk about Tetris. We talk about all kinds of things. We're just friends. But keeping the game alive, you know, sometimes people call me Mr. Tetris and I say, no, I'm not Mr. Tetris. That's Alexei. I'm Dr. Tetris because I kept Tetris alive all these years.
And it stayed, you know, pretty true to the game that you created, Alexei. Why do you think that model has proven so successful over these years? Like, what is it about these, you know, couple shapes and aligning them in a way that makes these lines disappear? Like, what continues to compel people to play that for your 40 years?
Yeah. Speaking short, it's a mystery. Nobody really knows that. But there are lots of components in the game which are really important. First of all, it's a very simple game. It's geometry. Everybody knows geometry, and it's the same for everybody. Then everybody marks that the game has a constructive spirit rather than destroying. So the player have a feeling that he creates something on the screen, kind of put some order into the chaos of falling blocks.
Yeah, so I have another way of looking at Tetris. Normal games like, for example, Mario, you can play them by memory. You can actually record the button presses and have a machine play for you. Tetris, it's different every single time. So what's going on is you have to make a decision. You have to make decisions. And most people, once we get into the rhythm of life, we don't get to make decisions anymore. It's like wake up, have coffee, get dressed, go to the office, do your thing in the office, go back home, watch TV, blah, blah, blah. These are all things that we do automatically. There's no decision involved. And Tetris is all about making decisions. So every button time you press a button, you've made a decision. And these decisions in the beginning, they happen fairly slowly, but then they go faster and faster. So your brain is actually making decisions. It's like basically the rest of your life is sitting down and all of a sudden you're running mentally. And that is, I think, is a pleasure center.
Well, Alexei and Hank, thank you so much for joining us today. This has been such a fun conversation and it's been great to talk to you about Tetris.
Aloha.
Aloha.
Alexei Pajitnov is the creator of Tetris and Hank Rogers is president of the Tetris Company. The film Tetris is available on Apple TV Plus this Friday. a little clubby Tetris music for you on this final day of our spring pledge drive. And Steve Chiotakis is here. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Michelle. I guess it gives new meaning to the term Soviet bloc.
Yeah.
You see, it's not that
I'm done.
Funny. It's
I'm
not.
Done.
I'm
no,
done.
No,
we're
done.
Finished here.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So we are. This is the last day of the spring pledge drive. By the way, I mean, we talk about the importance of this radio station. Now's the time to do it, right? So if you haven't done it, if you've been listening for the past few days and you're like, gosh, I wish they'd wrapped this up, we are wrapping it up. We're wrapping it up today.
The final day.
It's the final day.
The final countdown. Now, the final cube.
Are we going to play Europe? No, we're not doing that.
No.
Please, God, no. Anyway, we're asking for your support of this radio station because now is the time to do it. You go online. It takes you 2 minutes. You fill out the information. If you've never given before, now is an especially good time to do that because you are actively participating in this radio station, in the success of this radio station, to continue to do the things that you enjoy, that you like, that you use, that you are informed by at kcrw.com/give.
That's right. Totally. kcrw.com/give. It is the final day. Donate now before it is too late. Coming up on this show, the Sklar brothers are here to talk about the particular madness of this year's March Madness tournaments and Dodgers opening day tomorrow. That's next on Press Play.